You're listening to Teach Me Thy Statutes, a production of the Ephesus School Network.
Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. The company of the angels was amazed.
Hi, this is Father Aaron Warwick with Jason Everett, and you are listening to the Teach Me Thy Statutes podcast, episode number 171.
Today's reading is from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 27 through chapter 15, verse 4. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. In a multitude of people is the glory of a king, but without people a prince is ruined. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. A tranquil mind gives life to the flesh, but passion makes the bones rot. He who oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is kind to the needy honors him. The wicked is overthrown through his evil doing, but the righteous finds refuge through his integrity. Wisdom abides in the mind of a man of understanding, but it is not known in the heart of fools. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. A servant who deals wisely has the king's favor, but his wrath falls on one who acts shamefully. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise dispenses knowledge, but the mouth of fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So to my surprise, after looking back, it's been 3 years since we last discussed a reading from the book of Proverbs, so I thought that we might examine just a few verses from the reading that was appointed for Monday of this week. And the first that I'd ask you to comment on, Father, is the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life that one may avoid the snares of death. So any thoughts on this or any practical advice?
Well, Jason, I'm glad you selected this reading for today's episode and that you're beginning with this first question, because I do think it's a good way to introduce, or as we should say, reintroduce, you mentioned we've talked about Proverbs before, to our listeners to one of the overarching aims of Scripture. And by this, I mean specifically what we now call the Old Testament, as well as a primary aim of Proverbs specifically. So again, in a general way, the Bible is challenging the prevailing worldview of the culture in which it was written and compiled. And that worldview was one that exalted human reason, human wisdom, Sophia, as it was called in Hellenistic philosophy. The Old Testament generally, and here specifically in the proverb that you cited as the first sentence of our reading today, presents a different concept, a different idea. And that concept is that true wisdom is found not in human philosophical pursuits, but rather it's found in keeping God's law.
So that makes sense in the abstract, but can you explain how the verse that I referenced, which doesn't specifically mention keeping God's law, how it relates to this broader scriptural principle?
Sure, yeah, and I understand how the connection may not be immediately clear, because as you alluded to, this opening verse simply mentions that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. But stepping back and looking at the idea, the notion of fearing the Lord in Scripture, we can see that fearing Him is intimately connected to following His law. Ultimately, fearing the Lord in a scriptural sense is not so much fearing Him like an abused spouse would fear the abuser, but rather a very healthy respect and honor and deference shown to someone who does have power over your life, but nevertheless uses that power responsibly and to your benefit. So you see, in Scripture, the way that you show love to the senior is by being obedient and deferential, showing respect to them. The way then that the senior shows love to the junior is by taking care of their needs for the benefit of the junior and not exploiting them for their own benefit. Moreover, the senior exercises mercy and constraint in teaching and dealing with the junior. So putting this into the context of our relationship with God, where He's obviously the superior, the senior, we show Him love by being deferential, respectful, and obedient. And in this broader context, then, you can see how the fear of the Lord is intimately related to keeping his commandments, and then also how that ultimately leads us to life. And let me conclude this point by referencing the Gospel and Epistles of John, where the concept is stated and restated by John in many ways with the same underlying theme, but the basic theme is, if you love God, you will keep his commandments. And if you keep his commandments, most especially as we heard in this reading, of being kind to the needy, then you will find the fountain of life.
I appreciate you explaining that, Father, and also for connecting it to the Gospel and Epistles of John in the New Testament, where, as you referenced, we see that teaching really quite succinctly expressed on numerous occasions. And before turning to some questions on a few other proverbs from today's reading, do you have any practical implications for us of fearing the Lord and finding the fountain of life?
Well, I think the understanding of how a proverb like this, and as I said, Scripture in general, is countering the notion of human philosophical pursuits as the highest aim and the highest function of humanity is quite relevant to most of Western civilization's worldview today. So today we don't talk about Sophia, per se, and as they did in the ancient world at the time Scripture was written and compiled, but what we do talk about is science. And I think there's a lot more to that than just what the word science implies. By that, I mean you do have the pursuit of actual physical science. We do have people who are observing, hypothesizing, testing, and so forth, who are following the scientific method. And that's, of course, actual science. But at the same time, there are many people who are making philosophical statements and drawing conclusions from scientific findings that actually step outside authentic science and are entering into the philosophical realm. And the problem with that is that most of the time in popular parlance, people still refer to that, those philosophical pursuits, as science. Even many people who are scientists, actually professionally speaking, who do that, you know, some type of science for a living, are prone to step outside what is authentically science and start entering into the philosophical realm. And in this latter area, that is where we step out of true science and into philosophy, when we start talking about our idea of implications or the meaning of certain scientific discoveries, then I think a proverb like the one that we've been discussing, that the fear of the Lord, following his commandments, is the fountain of life, it becomes extremely practical, because the reality is that none of us, not scientists, not religious people, none of us truly understands, fully comprehends the world or our place in it. But what we do know as Christians is that following God's commandments leads us to deep spiritual fulfillment, a sense of purpose beyond ourselves, a sense that helping the needy is spiritually fulfilling, a sense that when we deny ourselves of some of our biological impulses and instincts, that there can be a fulfillment that far exceeds that which comes with just following those impulses.
Very good, Father. Appreciate the advice there. So I do want to move on to have you speak about a couple of other proverbs mentioned in today's reading very briefly. And let's first move to this one. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly.
Yeah, very, very practical proverb as well. I think over the past several years, I've begun to understand or start to internalize how Scripture deals with anger and have seen the wisdom in that. People who come to me for confession, at least any of them who have confessed the sin of anger, have almost certainly heard me reference St. James in his epistle, where he says, "The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Now, anger is an emotion, and emotions are not necessarily good or bad of their own. It's about how we use them. For example, many of the church fathers talk about this emotion of anger. They talk about how God essentially gave us this emotion of anger to direct at sin. The problem, of course, is that we misdirect this emotion. We apply it to many other things besides sin. And so we become, for example, angry towards our spouse when they do something we don't like, or we become angry with our children. We become angry with a coworker because of something they do or don't do. But in all of these circumstances, what anger does is gets us into our emotions, which then distracts us from being able to be logical and I use that term logical somewhat loosely, but what I'm saying in general goes back to the earlier statement that I made, which is that we have the unique ability to override our biological impulses and instincts. And that's certainly true with anger. We can learn to tame our anger, our misdirected anger, the anger that can be sinfully directed towards others. And when we do that, we can then have understanding. We can view things with a clear mind.
Very good. So last one for today. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger.
Yeah, I think that's sort of a mirror image of the one that we just discussed. We discussed being slow to anger ourselves, and this one is about how we can help facilitate others to be slow to anger. In our dealings with other people, we can stoke the fire. Sometimes we can make it easy for them to become angry, or we can approach them in a way that is disarming. And so really, some of the same things I said about that previous proverb that you brought up are true here. But I think this one is simply counseling us to help others to be calm, to be less likely to have that impulse towards an emotion of anger that is then misdirected. Because again, when we behave more logically than emotionally, we're normally able to make better decisions and find a better path forward.
Thank you, Father. In today's episode, we discussed the book of Proverbs and some specific verses appointed by the church for reading this week. Father Aaron began by first reminding us that the Bible challenges the prevailing worldview of the culture in which it was written and compiled. That worldview exalted human reason and wisdom, but the Old Testament presents a different concept, one in which true wisdom is found not in human philosophical pursuits, but is found in keeping God's law. We can see this clearly in our opening verse today, where this notion of fearing the Lord is connected to following His law. This fear is a healthy respect, honor, and obedience shown to God, not one where we fear God as we would an abuser. This helps us to keep His commandments, which leads to the fountain of life. We then discussed the topic of anger. The Church Fathers refer to anger as being given by God to be directed at sin itself. But we so often misdirect our anger at others. Father explained that as human beings, we have the unique ability to learn to tame our anger, or more accurately, our misdirected anger that is sinfully directed at others. As the proverb says, when we achieve this, we can attain understanding and see things with a clear mind. We should also be mindful of our ability to either stoke the fire of anger in others or to approach them in a way that is disarming. Let us take the latter path and be an encouragement to our brothers and sisters, rather than a stumbling block.
Thank you for listening to Teach Me Thy Statutes. We hope you tune in next week for a new episode.
Alleluia, alleluia, glory to Thee, O God. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, glory to Thee, O God, O our God.